And our super guest star this morning.
Who is it?
Is our program director, our boss, the Catman of the Americas, Jeff Cap.
This is not disclosure.
Hi, Cat.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me. You're clearly at the bottom of the barrel. This bit's about to die, and that's why you've asked me to do it finally.
Oh, no.
Thank you for knowing that.
Try not to be offended.
We got a lot of P1s who were excited about this, and our Canadian P1, Richard, says, I can't wait for Cat's list. Just tell him up the irons, and he'll know.
Oh, boy. My phone has been blowing up this morning, too. So we'll see if listeners and P1s have the chalk or not in this.
Well, was this hard for you to go through the list and come up with these answers?
Just like everybody has said throughout the last months, this is so difficult because like you guys and like the other guests, I have such a passion for music. It's probably my biggest passion outside of family and things like that. And so it was very, very difficult. And just in the first two categories, I could have gone a dozen deep on each one, bands I hate and bands that are overrated. So we'll see how I get started here.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to this because I think you, more than anybody else, has had to bust in during Biggest Show Coming to Town to correct us on something or to promote a band that you're interested in or to further the metal cause, whatever it happens to be. So I know you've got HSOs on music.
I sure do. Absolutely.
Okay, why don't we start with band that you hate?
And here's one again. I could have gone in many, many different directions. I've heard other guests mention folks like Coldplay and Radiohead and Eric Clapton and bands like that. But this one particular band that when he comes on the radio and I hear it, I am out so fast, my head will spin.
Oh,
boy.
I'm with you.
He's been taking it to shorts pretty hard, too.
Man, he has.
Just take those old records.
God almighty.
I think he was a favorite of Pat Green's.
Well, that says everything you need
Pat
to know.
Here.
Yeah, I am.
You know, he's a favorite of mine, too, but he's been on a lot of people's hate or overrated list. So yeah. I think Pat Green and I are in the minority.
And we're talking about Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band here.
Still going.
Is he, though?
You said that name with such disdain.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm interested in this one. Band you think is overrated?
Once again, there was a bunch.
Oh,
that's just terrible, isn't it? Contenders here for me, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Danny Bayless mentioned, completely overrated. A band that I'm sure some people think I like that is completely overrated is Tool. But there is one band who has lived off the back of two records for 30-plus years that is completely overrated and held up in this high esteem. And it's just like, dude, seriously, if the guy didn't blow his head off, no one would even care about this band. The band that is overrated is wow. This one.
I'm kind of with you.
Damn right, Cat.
But I won't go on the air with it.
Look, Nirvana's fine. They were the band that was the more commercial band that came out of Seattle in the 90s with grunge, but there was other bands like Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam that all came out of there too that have had great careers. And yeah, sure, this band changed a lot of things for music in the 90s, which I'll expand on in some other categories. But if it wasn't for the way that Kurt Cobain did himself, no one would talk about, oh my God, Nirvana changed everything. Nirvana's the best ever. Dave Grohl is the most talented member and the coolest member of Nirvana, not Kurt Cobain.
You know, that's interesting because there is no doubt that an early death furthers a legend.
Mm-hmm.
But they were big and popular before he did that, so I don't know. I mean, wouldn't they still, let's say he's still alive, wouldn't they still be if they were together at least for a while
sure.
after that?
Yeah,
wouldn't they still be huge?
Maybe or maybe not, but see, the longer you go, you have a tendency to maybe taint your legacy. But they were popular and around for like 4 years, and they had like 91 to 94 was their heyday.
Mm-hmm.
You like it when Weird Al does Nirvana?
Yes, I love it when Weird Al does Nirvana. That's about what the treatment
alone.
It deserves.
Would Dave Grohl write songs for them if they were a band moving forward? Like, say Kirk was alive.
Only if they wanted to be good.
Right. Foo Fighters, much better.
You think that Dave Grohl was kept down?
Yeah, I think Dave Grohl just didn't find his voice, but you know, he was definitely writing songs on the side, and I don't know why, you know, what the dynamics of the band were, why they didn't make it into the band dynamic when he was writing and playing the drums. But yeah, I think if they would have gone on, I think that would have had to have been part of it.
Kurt always stuck a shotgun in his mouth when Dave threatened to write a song.
Whoa.
Talking down.
I think it might have been Courtney Love, right? That's the story.
Yeah.
You ever
I've heard that.
That's unconfirmed. Just a rumor we're reporting.
Yes.
All right, band you think is underappreciated.
Okay, now we're all from Dallas-Fort Worth, and so this band, I think, gets its due here, but I think there's a tendency to think, you know what, this band is legendary around here, or this band is legendary in Texas. But I don't think people that aren't familiar with the genre understand that in the 90s, this band took the torch for an entire genre of music and held it up. Because as Nirvana and grunge did take over and pushed metal down into the underground after its big heyday in the 80s, there was really only one band, not Metallica, not Slayer, not any of these other big bands from the 80s that carried on throughout the 90s with the metal legacy. That was one band and one band only. And this band is nominated for 4 Grammys. It has number one albums on the overall album chart, just like Taylor Swift or U2 or whoever. They've sold 10 million records. They've played sold-out stadiums in the 90s in Russia, across Europe, and America. But sometimes I think people just don't understand. This band is underrated. This band is fantastic. They're great songwriters. They have 2 members of the band that have virtuoso talent level in the guitar player and the drummer. But more than anything, their songs are great. And within this musical genre, they're just funky and they swing. And the band that I think is underrated from Arlington, Texas, is the Cowboys from Hell themselves, Pantera.
R.I.P.
This riff right here, classic. The song Walk, I mean, it's just very heavy. There's another song here called I'm Broken, which is another great riff.
Very fitting during this Dallas Stars run.
Yes, yeah. Very. They wrote the Dallas Stars song. Another great riff right here. And as I said, you know, I think people that grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth, we all have Vinny stories or Dime stories, or we've seen them at small clubs, and that's all part of their mystique and legacy. And yes, tragedy befell the band, which is going to cement their legacy. But even before that happened, the band had broken up. No one was going to touch what Pantera meant to metal and the community and the credibility they have among musicians and among metal fans and other bands. Pantera has a ton of credibility, but I mentioned the funkiness. Yeah, I want you to listen to this riff right here. This is funky.
That's cool.
It's awesome. This is off their last album. The song's called Revolution Is My Name. When I hear that, I was like, this is great.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the member who died first is still alive.
Yeah, right.
Phil,
who accidentally overdosed, and I was at that show at Starplex, and they brought him back with Narcon.
Didn't do a gig in 4 days.
Yeah, 2 days later, played Houston. So Pantera, I believe, is underrated.
And
by
you got in on some of those backstage get-downs?
Oh, wow. Man, so many times I was at that show, and, you know, Slow-Mo from Pantego, an old friend of ours, and from The Ticket, another guy, Grady Champion, who was in a band called Cat Daiquiri, and he became Dimebag Darrell's guitar tech. Big Ticket P1, too. And so there was a lot of intertwining between Pantera and The Ticket back in the day. And I've had so many funny stories. But just as a band and as musicians, these guys are underrated.
Okay, band that you love.
If you know me, this is a no-brainer. This is the chalk here. The band I love is Iron Maiden.
You'll take my life, but I'll take yours, too.
Take those old records off the shelf.
Yeah, I could have predicted this one.
Yes. Anybody that knows even a little bit about me knows this is my favorite band. I've seen them. I've looked this up recently. I've seen them, I believe, 17 times since 1985, every time they come to town. They've had 16 records. They're still going strong. They've had 2 kind of career periods, their classic period in the 80s, and then from 2000 to now, they still are putting out records that are relevant, and they do a touring cycle where they'll go out and tour on their most recent album and won't play their hits, and then they'll come back and do a greatest hits tour package. So they've kind of found that niche late in career. Obviously, hugely successful.
Obviously.
100 million records sold, merchandising. Iron Maiden, this is one of 3 times in my life that kind of the world stopped spinning. The first time I heard Iron Maiden, I'm like, what in the world is this? This is the craziest, greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Iron Maiden.
All right, band you can listen to over and over again.
Another classic band. Read books about them. Obviously had a period in high school where I just couldn't get enough of this band. But every time they come on or I put a record on, I think, yeah, man, you know what? This is one of the greatest bands of all time. It's this one. Sure. Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
They stole everything they ever had.
Is that what some people say?
Oh, yeah.
Especially their first album was a lot of covers and old ripped-off blues songs that they repurposed.
I never heard that.
So his voice, though.
I mean, just so everything. Awesome. His voice is crazy. And I've seen a bootleg concert video from, like, 1971 at Royal Albert Hall. And they're no pretension at all. Just a stage, a black curtain, and lights. It's incredible how good these guys were.
So when you first heard metal or hard rock, you weren't frightened by it. You just went, hell yeah, that's the direction I want to go, even though you're like 5 years old.
Well, I'm actually going to get to that, George, in my next two categories.
Okay.
And I do, there was a gateway here for sure that I walked through. And no, I was never scared.
Okay, let's let him let's let him get to that and let's reset. This is the Catman of the Americas, Jeff Catlin, our program director, doing Bands of Your Life. And that next category is Band That Made Me Fall in Love with Music.
And so I'm 9 years old, and I grew up in a musical family. In other words, my parents always had music on. My mom loved Elvis and the Beatles. My dad was into doo-wop like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. He loved Frank Sinatra. But riding in the back of the car, hearing the Eagles and America on big rock stations in the 70s, but the first time the world stopped spinning for me, I was 9 years old, and I'm not even sure when I heard this, but this bass line came on, and I held on for dear life and said, what is this? Oh, my God, give me more. And it's Queen. And so I didn't ask my parents to have the song Another One Bites the Dust. I wanted to have the album that it came on, and I had a stereo in my room as a fifth grader, and I put on the record and side one, song one, and I wore this record out frontwards and backwards day after day after day. And of course, I didn't understand what Queen was or Freddie Mercury or anything. I just knew that I'd never heard anything like this before.
Boy, this song was so big.
And yeah, the next right? song, Cray-Tray? Yeah, 1980. And this song right here on the same record, The Game, I love to this day.
Not a bad band. They needed a different lead singer.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up.
So then, George, what happens to me is I fell in love with Queen, and I was really into it, and I thought, this is great. Oh, my gosh. And the next time that music kind of stopped for me or the world kind of stopped was at a skating rink around that same time. And we had a little skating rink, and I was listening, you know, skating around or whatever. And this particular song came on, and the band that 100% changed my life. Sorry, not to do your job here, Junior,
no,
but it all segues into what George asked me about. So I was listening to Queen and things like that, and I was at the roller skating rink, and another band came on that totally blew me away, and this is what helped me walk through that door of hard rock, George, which led to metal. And I heard this, and I thought, oh, my God, this band is like nothing I've ever heard, and I'll tell you why it changed my life even further in just a second. And it's AC/DC, and this came on, and it was scary and edgy and huge guitar, and I thought, oh, man, this is fantastic. And so I got the album Back in Black, and Back in Black and Queen the Game both came out in 1980.
That's right, 40-year anniversary
and I
a couple
just,
weeks ago.
Yeah, just played them over and over again, and I would stand in my room in front of my mirror with these records on and play air guitar and sing and lip sync to these records over and over again.
Yeah.
And the reason why AC/DC changed my life is two things. One is, yes, it opened up the door to this harder rock that I walked through, and I went directly from AC/DC to Iron Maiden. But the other thing that it changed my life is because of AC/DC, I wanted to learn how to play guitar. And I started playing guitar a year later. And the first song that I ever learned how to play was an AC/DC song called Girls Got Rhythm. And then this Highway to Hell record my uncle bought me, and the rest was history to me. And I still have this passion for guitar and hard rock and metal that's been with me and really defined my life from my teenage years to who I am today. And yeah, I love all other kind of music, but this right here completely changed my life.
They're telling you right there where they want to go.
They want to go to hell. That's exactly what you're going to be on, you listening to this stuff.
Okay, band that surprised you.
You know, when you're a metalhead like me and you're an adolescent guy and you have to like certain things, there's certain bands you completely dismiss out of hand. And in the 80s, there was a lot of cool new wave bands that I was aware of because of MTV. But this band I always dismissed because it was, you know, SG back in the day, we used to say.
What does that stand for?
Right. And now later in life, really recently, I've realized I knew their hits. But I got into it because talk about edgy and dark and completely unique. The band that I absolutely love that totally has surprised me is the Smiths. I love the Smiths, man.
Gordo's got his lighter up.
Yes! Every time I hear the Smiths, it's just like his voice and his delivery and lyrical style. I'll sing it all day.
He's great.
And when I was a kid,
this
I just
band
thought,
was great.
They're great. And I just thought back then, I never gave them even a second because it didn't fit into my worldview, you know? Stop me if you think you've heard this song before. Stop me, stop me.
All right, who is the Catman's guilty pleasure?
This I get made fun of all the time from my family. And I love country music. A lot of people don't know that. I love Blake Shelton. I like Jason Aldean. But there's one guy in particular that I love, and I'm about to stand up and move my booty to it, and my family teases me all the time because of this guy.
From the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now
next
the
one,
whole
Cray-tray.
Team here. Started from I was taking a hold on
it's Drake, of course. I made a ticket stock song out of one of these songs. I like Drake so much.
Well, that's where that came from.
Big Raptors fan.
Yeah, I love yeah. Drake, man. It's catchy. It's just good stuff. Good hooks. Yeah, and it's nothing, you know?
All right, that band you should have seen in person by now.
Well, this is probably embarrassing to say, and I've been lucky throughout my life to see a lot of big bands, but being in Texas and growing up in the 80s, I can't believe I never saw this band. Never seen ZZ Top.
I haven't either. I need to.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Never seen them.
His butt breath voice.
They played the Texas Jam every year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was allowed to go to that, though.
And I went to the Texas Jam, but I never caught him.
Wow.
I need to bring back the Texas Jam when we go back to concerts.
And I really liked early, you know, ZZ Top more than like MTV ZZ Top. Like the old 70s ZZ Top stuff is great. And there's a documentary that just came out earlier this year that's incredible about those guys.
You know, this riff is so identifiable, the guitar riff. I think people ignore how great that those rim shots are, those sticks on the
yeah,
side of the rim.
The whole thing works.
All right, and finally, great band to see live.
From the 90s, you know, everybody kind of chalks this band up to mean, hey, this is an alternative band from the 90s. They don't really have much going on anymore, but they do. And I like them because they've pivoted in their career to go down this path of really, and it reminds me of The Ticket in a lot of ways. When you go to these shows, you have fun. You're with a bunch of like-minded people. You always have a great time. You leave feeling good about yourself. It's uplifting. And they've pivoted to this band that even though they don't get any radio play anymore like they did in the 90s, they've developed a relationship with their audience to where they have had this 30-year career, all the original members of the band. They go on tour every summer. It's a big party, and they're kind of like this jam band thing, and they've had this sustained career. They change up their set every night. They do all this stuff for their fans, and they're still going strong. And when you go see the show, you will have a great time guaranteed. A great live band to see is 311.
Chill. I'm going to put them on my list.
Just a good bunch of guys, too. They've got movies, and they'll do the cruises. They do a 311 day every other year where they do this big festival, like ticket stock for their fans. They call it 311 day, and they'll do two shows, play for like 3 hours each night on March 11th, and they'll pick a city like New Orleans or Vegas, and they go at the hotel, and they do meet and greets. Again, there's a lot of parallels there to what we do here. But I just think any band that can stick around for 30 years with very little airplay, with the same original guys, and develop a relationship with your audience, still putting out great music. A couple years ago, they put out a record called Mosaic that was one of my favorite records of the year. Just good. You know, they rock. They're, you know, they got some heavy moments, but they're just really, really good band. And it's fun to go see them live.
Cat, great job.
That was awesome.
That was an awesome list.
I felt the pressure. Thank you very much.
And yeah,
I
just, you delivered.
You know, I think just like all of us, I love music, and it's it would be a sad, sad world without it, and the impact that it's had on my life just can't be even explained.
As I get now the show today,
nostalgic and emotional about it.
Turn around and blame us for being late. So
got plenty
that
more
was
to
worth
go.
It. That was worth it. Thank you, Cat.
Thanks, boys.
That's Jeff Catlin, the Cat Man of the Americas. Bands of your life this week.